is our God. Oh, we'll see how great, how great is our God.
Mr. Pastor at Shalom Christian Fellowship, and it's good to be speaking with you this morning. I see Pastor Bascom has joined us, so I say greetings to Pastor Bascom. This morning, I will be speaking on the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. I want to look at 9 passages together with you. So I hope you have your Bible or your digital device for your digital Bible or your analog Bible, as I do right here. We're going to look at 9 passages. And what I want to do this morning is I want to give you a statement, all right? I'm going to give you a statement. And then I want to show you that it's biblical, okay? The statement that I give you this morning on the sovereignty of God. This is something you may want to write down, although I think you'll hear it enough this morning that it'll stick in your mind. But the statement is this: our God permits evil and predestines everything for his purposes eternal and to his praise evermore. Okay, there are 4 important P's in that statement, and each one is followed by an E, all right? So I'm going to say that again. That's what will help it stick in your mind. So let me say that statement again. Our God, number 1, permits evil, and number 2, predestines everything. Number 3, for his purposes eternal, and number 4, to his praise evermore. The sovereignty of God is, on one hand, is a very challenging, difficult thing that we're going to look at this morning, but on the other hand, it's a fabulous and wonderful thing. And so I want to begin with a passage that I began with the last time I preached from this pulpit, though it wasn't in this spot geographically the last time I preached from it. This morning, my starting point is Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. We're going to look at starting at verse 31. Luke 22, verse 31. The sovereignty of God, our God, our first point, permits evil. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 through 34, we read, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. This is a very biblical concept, is that Satan cannot do anything without getting permission from God. And it's a challenging concept. It may challenge you this morning that God permits evil. In this situation, Satan looked at Peter and saw that his confidence was in himself. What a worthless thing. This morning, if you have confidence in yourself, if you know you are special, you're just one of those super Christians. Other people trip and fall. Other people trip and fall. I think we got coronavirus breaking out here. If you think you're not like other Christians, those poor weak things. Yes, you're one of God's favorites. And why wouldn't you be one of God's favorites? Because you're better than the rest. If you have confidence in yourself, and Peter was so confident in himself, Lord, that's not going to happen to me. Satan can't trip me up. And Satan was saying, let me at him. Let me at him. this man is ripe for the picking. He is. He's asking for it. Let me at him. Man, I can throw so many things at him. He'll wish he'd never said those words. His intent was evil toward Peter. And the Lord gave him permission. The Lord permits evil. In a little bit, we'll look at a verse from Job, but you know the story of Job. He approached God, and he eventually asked God for permission to kill all of his children and to steal every possession that he had. And he asked permission to afflict him with boils from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And it's a very challenging concept that God said, okay, Satan, I'll let you kill all of his children, steal all that he has, and cause his body to suffer. This morning, I know that I have people listening who have not been able to have children all their life, or who've had a child and that child died. I know this morning there are believers who are listening who are abandoned by their spouse, believers who've been physically assaulted and even and violated. There are so many evil things that can happen in this world. And I know there are people listening this morning that have had very evil things happen in their life. And all the evil that comes into your life is Satan's fault. But none of it can happen unless God gives him permission.
Amen.
That's a very challenging concept, but it's biblical. Let's look at some texts that back this up further. Deuteronomy chapter 32. We're going to look at about four texts. One, two, three. Four texts very quickly. Deuteronomy, fifth book in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Something you don't have to do if you have a digital Bible. You just type it in. Deuteronomy 32:39. And then we'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 2. But Deuteronomy 32:39 says, See now that I myself am he. There is no God beside me. I put to death and I bring to life. I have wounded and I will heal. And no one can deliver out of my hand. That's a verse on the sovereignty of God. He's saying, look at me. Don't look anywhere else. Don't be distracted. I'm the only one you should be concerned with. I give death. I bring life. I wound. I heal. And no one can deliver out of my hand. The sovereign hand of God is the only hand that you need to be concerned about this morning. You needn't be distracted about by what the devil is doing. Your eyes need to be on God, and your confidence needs to be in him. For in his hands are all life and all events. He is sovereign. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. 1 Samuel 2, verses 6 and 7. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts.
Amen.
Are you being blessed financially today? That's the hand of God. Are you going through a rough financial time today? That's the hand of God. If you are having trials today, undoubtedly that is Satan working against you. But he is only doing it because the sovereign God has permitted him. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts from one end of extreme to the other, or anywhere in between. Wherever you are at this moment in your life is because God has permitted you to be there. He is sovereign. Exodus 4:11. I heard the pastor read this verse. Pastor Garth read this verse last week. Exodus 4:11. I believe I heard him read this last week, and I thought, oh, this will work. This will work in my message. Exodus chapter 4, verse 11. Let this verse shock you this morning if you're having a challenging time with the concept that God permits evil. 4:11. The Lord said to him, that's to Moses, he said, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? I left out. I know someone's listening today who has gone through a time of blindness. And sovereignly, the Lord permitted that. Let me read that once more. To Moses, the Lord said, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? The Lord is sovereign in all things. And we come to Job chapter 1, verse 21. You know this verse very well. You may not know it as Job 1:21. But the news has just reached Job that all of his children are dead and that all of his wealth has been wiped out by the stock market crash of 2000 BC. All right? Everything has just been wiped out. He's penniless. And he's penniless, and he's grieved. And he says, in verse 21, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I had to get a little King James on you, because I didn't have my book open to that. But you know that, right? What's he say? The Lord gives. The Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Didn't Satan kill all of his children? Yes. Didn't Satan arrange for everything to be wiped out? Yes. But if you read the book of Job, Job never puts his eyes on Satan. He looks above Satan and says, everything I had was because God permitted me to have it, and everything I've lost, it's because God permitted me to lose it, and I will bless his name. I'm talking on the sovereignty of God, and the statement that I'm giving you is that our God permits evil, but beyond that, he predestines everything for his purposes eternal and his praise evermore. And I want to give you two subpoints under this first one, then move on to the next one, which is even a bigger truth to wrap our brains around. But he permits evil. Number one, why does he permit evil? And I want to tell you that it's because freedom requires it. When God created us as free will beings, when he put Adam and Eve in the garden, he created them to be able to love him and serve him. And if you're going to create something to be able to love you and serve you, it's got to have the capacity to hate you and doubt you and rebel against you. You can't create beings that have the capacity to love, but not enable them to turn from you and hate you. There's just, freedom requires it. If you're going to create free beings, then you're going to say, don't eat from this tree, knowing that they have a choice. If God were to, and every now and then we think this way, and you encounter people who think this way, it makes sense. But they say, why does God let evil things happen? If he wouldn't let a single evil thing happen, you would have no choice, no freedom. You would just be forced to do whatever he said. And he created you in his image with the ability to be incredible like he is, or to not be. We have free will. Why does he permit evil? Because freedom requires it. Number two, the second point quickly I want to make, is his permission does not make him guilty of sin. Amen. His permission does not make him blameworthy or at fault. That's the most challenging concept. People will say, well, if he allowed this person to do that to me, then I blame him for that. If he sovereignly gave permission for Satan to take all of Job's children, and Satan does it, if Satan is wrong to take his children, then God has to be wrong for permitting Satan to take Job's children. But it doesn't work that way. The reason it doesn't work that way is the person who chooses to do something for wrong purposes is guilty for God before God for their wrong motives for doing what they did. But when God allows someone freedom to do the wrong thing, as we will see, his purpose is not evil. His purpose is always ultimately good. God makes his decisions for good, and he permits other people to make their decisions for evil. But he is not guilty of sin when he gives someone freedom to do wrong. As a parent, your children, as they're growing, you give them more and more ability to make their own decisions. And they make bad decisions at times. And you don't, unless you really have to, you don't say, oh, sorry, I'm making all your decisions from now on. If I say, you could choose to go to this college, you can choose to go to that college, you can choose not to go to college, you've got to make your own choices, child. And a child chooses not to go to college and chooses not to do a bunch of things that aren't good for them, I am not now suddenly to blame for the decisions that my child made. They have to make their decisions at some point. I have to provide guidance and counsel. But God can permit us to be free and not be guilty of the wrong choices we make. Moving on. So our God permits evil, but beyond that, he predestines everything for his purposes eternal and to his praise evermore. I want to look at a bigger topic in the sovereignty of God, is that he predestines everything. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Ephesians 1, 11. We read these words. In him we were also chosen. Paul writing to the Ephesians, Ephesians 1, 11. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Paul liked the word predestined. He uses this a few times. He uses other words related to that. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in accordance, in conformity with the purpose of his will. This verse says very clearly that our God predestines everything. Now, as I preach, you may say, you're sounding like a Calvinist, Pastor George. But notice, earlier I was talking about the free will of man. So if you're a Calvinist, a few minutes ago you were saying, yeah, he's an Arminian. But at this point you're saying, he's a Calvinist. And I'm simply trying to be biblical, all right? The Bible preaches both. God permits evil. And beyond that, you think that's a hard thing to swallow, that God, a good God, permits evil. Well, let's take it farther. Not only does he permit evil, he predestines everything according to a plan that he made before the foundations of the world. He makes everything conform to his will. He predestines everything. I want to give you two words this morning, reactive and proactive. Reactive. So let me describe what it is to be a reactive person. Your money, your bank runs, your bank account runs out of money, so you get a loan. Your health goes downhill, so you start taking medication year after year for your chronic health problems. Your spouse says, it's over, I want a divorce. So you say, let's go to marriage counseling. All right. Those are situations where a person, I'm not saying they're doing the wrong thing, but I want you to see that they are reacting to reality. Reality has given them a bad report, and they say, based on the reality of my bank account being empty, I'm going to have to get a loan. Based on the reality that my doctor says I now have this condition, I will start taking medication. Based on the reality that my spouse is through with me, I'm going to say, let's go to marriage counseling. None of those things are wrong. That's not the point. But let me describe proactive to you. Proactive says, because I don't want my bank account to run out of money, I'm going to have a very simple and tight budget. I'm going to save. And any opportunity I have to advance myself and my skills so that I can make more money or attain a position that pays better, I will take those opportunities because I want to avoid my bank account running out. Proactive says, I'm not going to live forever, and I need to visit the doctor, and I need to exercise, I need to watch my weight, I need to eat healthy, because I don't want to get to the place where I get those things that come into your life through neglect and bad habits. So I'm going to live a healthy lifestyle as best I can. Proactive says, I'm married, and if I don't maintain my relationship with my spouse, things will go downhill. So things are great between me and my spouse. Why don't we take some marriage enrichment courses together? Why don't we make sure that we go on dates together, we get some time together? Why don't I find out how our relationship is doing from time to time? Create an environment so that I'm not caught off guard by things that I may be doing that is hurting my spouse. That's proactive. Those are good. We live our lives to some degree. We're doing some proactive things. We're doing some reactive things. What is Pastor George talking about? Why am I mentioning this? You need to know that our God is only proactive.
He decides what will be, and reality follows the decisions and actions God makes. He doesn't react to reality and the decisions we make. He is before all things, and He determines everything that comes after Him. He is a sovereign God. A few years back, more than 10 years ago, our family owned chickens. We were deciding to buy and raise some chickens, and my wife said, well, I'll design the hen house. So she drew up plans for a hen house, and I built it. I and my son, Gabriel, built that hen house, and it was a very nice hen house. And our chickens, our 11 hens and our one rooster, came to live in that hen house. We took chicken wire and we made a fence, and we enclosed the fence on top too. So they lived in a protected environment that we designed for them. The chickens could peck each other and they could walk around in a limited area, but they couldn't peck anything outside of that fence, outside of that hen house. It was predetermined. A plan was made. The exact spot in the yard where they would live and how far they could go was all designed and predetermined by my wife and I. And we carried out that plan. And we're living in a universe that God designed. It has limits that God has designed. He has thought of everything. And He knows what He will allow you to do and what He won't allow you to do. He is proactive, and reality conforms to the decisions and actions He has made. You'll remember that when Adam and Eve sinned and they ate from that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God gave them a choice. He allowed them to choose whether or not they would eat of that tree. But as soon as they ate of that tree, he would not allow them to eat from the tree of life. He set an angel there with a flaming sword to make sure they could not eat from that tree. So there are some things God will allow us to do, and there are some things he sovereignly, under no circumstances, will allow us to do. You have to understand it's beyond your comprehension and mine, but you at least have to understand that he is sovereign.
Because he predestines everything. Quickly to the next point, for his purposes eternal. Verse 11 here again says, in him we were all chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. He has a purpose. He has a purpose, and all of his purposes are always good. Amen?
Amen.
Everything that he sets out to do, he does. He accomplishes. His will is always brought about in everything, and his will is good. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. The author Paul urges everybody who is hearing him, who's reading his message, offer yourselves as living sacrifices to God. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercies, to present yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Can you trust a God who permits evil? Can you trust a God who predestines everything? Only if all of his purposes are good all the time. And they are. And Paul says in Romans chapter 12, he urges you to trust God completely, to surrender your life to him in all areas. And he says that if you will do that, Romans chapter 12, you remember, he says, don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Only if you surrender to him, only if you will trust him with everything, will you eventually be able to see that in everything, his will is good, is pleasing, is perfect. He makes no mistakes. He is sovereign. He is in control. And he is after your good eternally. Our God permits evil, and beyond that, predestines everything for his purposes eternal. And those purposes are always good. And the last part is, and to his praise evermore. Romans 12 says, trust him, give your life as a sacrifice to him. Give it all up to him. Don't go after the world. The world is against God. Surrender to God and find out that his will is good, pleasing, and perfect. But just before Romans 12, Romans 11 has these words. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Paul here is writing and saying, who really knows the mind of God? You can't know why he's doing what he's doing all the time. But unmistakable in the Bible is that whatever he's doing, it's for his purposes eternal. They're always good and will result in his praise evermore. He is worthy to be praised. What he's up to is good. What he's accomplishing is great. And he is worthy of being praised forevermore. This is the word of God that I'm preaching to you this morning, that our God permits evil and predestines everything according to his purposes eternal and to his praise forevermore. You may be uncomfortable with that. You may want to push back on that, but this is the word of God. And this morning I have good news for you. Not only is it the word of God, but it's the gospel. Look in Acts with me. Look with me in Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost. Please listen. The uncomfortable truths I may be sharing with you are the gospel. For the word of God says, Peter preaching, he says, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know." Verse 23, "This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, 'I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope.'" This is the gospel. Can you see it? Verse 23. "This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross." God permits evil. He permitted evil men, wicked men, to arrest Christ, to convict him wrongly, to crucify him. Does God permit evil? Yes, he does. And you notice it says it was predestined. It was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Scripture says Christ was the Lamb who was slain. He permitted evil. He predestined everything for a purpose. His purpose in the gospel was to provide a ransom for a sinner like me. He purposed before the world began that he would give me a free will. He would allow me to rebel against him, turn from him, do my own thing. He predestined that I would have that freedom to turn from him. He predestined that his son, innocent as he was, would die in my place. And his purpose was to redeem me forever so that I could praise him forevermore. That's the gospel. If you don't believe God permits evil and predestines everything, you've got to throw out the gospel, because I just read it to you. God ordained his son would die at the hands of wicked men for the purpose of ransoming you so that he could change you from a sinner to a saint who praises him evermore. That's the gospel. That's our God. And he is worthy to be trusted. This morning, I challenge you to trust this God. This is the God of the Bible. I can't answer your questions. Well, why did he permit this to happen to me? Why did he permit that to happen to me? I can't answer that question. But I can say you can trust him still. You can surrender your whole life to the God who became flesh, died at the hands of wicked men, so that you could be ransomed and redeemed forever and praising his name. This morning, what is going on in your world? What is going on in your life? Whatever is going on, God is perfectly accomplishing his will to his praise. I leave you with the words of this hymn. We're going to worship the Lord together. He is worthy to be praised. He is sovereign. Surrender to his sovereignty. I leave you. You may be struggling with what's going on in your life this morning, but listen to these words by William Cowper, the hymn, "God Moves in a Mysterious Way." God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unsearchable mines of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings over your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. What is your sovereign God up to? Always good. Trust him and praise him. Let's worship the Lord together.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Always see how great is our God?
Sing, how great is our God?
Oh, how great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God. Always see how great is our God.
The splendor of the King.
Oh, the splendor of the King. Robed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light,
yes,
and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. I will see how great is our God.
Name above all names,
name above all names.
Oh,
worthy of all praise.
My heart will sing how
great is our God.
Above all names,
oh, name above all names, worthy of all praise.
My heart will sing how great is our God.
How great is our God.
Sing with me how
our God.
Oh, we'll see how great is our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How great is our God. Praise the Lord. Simple. God is in control. That's what it means. God is in control. Corona is not in control. Government is not in control. We are not in control. Nobody is in control. God is in control. So we praise God that he has control. Amen? Amen. George, that was a wonderful message, and I hope we all heard it and take it to heart. I hope the young people heard what George was saying. I pick up little stuff I like. George, tell the young people, we could tell your parents the way to go. You got to make your decisions. You have free will, but don't use your free will to serve yourself. Use your free will to serve God. Amen. Well, this is to us Georgians down here, and I know we are starting to open back up the work form, some of the workforces, and some people saying yay, some people saying nay, but guess what? God is in control. So we need to pray that God will really keep us and keep us safe. Keep us safe. Don't forget we have a Bible study with Shane tonight at 6:30. And then if you like what you heard this morning from Pastor George, you can tune in on Wednesday and listen to the Bible study on knowing God's will for your life. If you're not sure what God's will is for you, this is a good time to tune in. So many people say, if I would only know God's will, well, here's the time. You want to know God's will, tune in on Wednesday night at 7 and find out how you could know God's will. And then when you find out God's will, the big thing is do it. Do it. Yep, choose to do it. Choose to do it. You know, one of the scriptures I like is, God told the Israelites, I'm laying before you today life and death. And then he told them which one to choose. Choose life. Choose life. So let's do that. God is good all the time. God is good. Thank Foster. I saw you listening again today. I praise God that you could tune in. It's a long time we haven't seen each other. So hopefully the next time I come to Trinidad, we'll hook up. I want to thank all the ones from the Red Hill Wesleyan Holiness Church with the Bishop Reverend Bascom. One day I want to grow up and be just like him. So, and I know he's listening, and we just send our greetings from Shalom Christian Fellowship. By the way, the clock is working, and it's setting its own time, which is nice. I'm looking back there, and I realize we have gone longer than we ever gone before by 50. No, kidding. So the clock reminds us that you are with us, and we are with you. So let's pray. And thank God for his great mercy. Look. They're showing you. It adjusted. Boy, when you big shot like Pastor Bascom, you could send nice clock like that. It set itself. So God bless you. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, this morning for your word. Father, we want to thank you that we were reminded that you are in control. Lord, you know everything. You are not reacting because you already set everything in order. Everything is going according to your plan. We thank you, Lord God, that you made a plan for salvation before we even sin. Hallelujah. What a good God you are. Father, we just want to praise you and exalt you and magnify your name. Because even though we don't understand and we don't have the mind of God, you send Holy Spirit to live in us. And Holy Spirit can intercede the heart of God. Father, help us to walk by the Spirit that we not fulfill the lust of our flesh. And Father, we just want to praise you. We ask God that you would keep each person. Father, give us wisdom on how to move forward, because now that they want to open up and give us the free will to start doing the things we thought we were free to do, Father, you give us wisdom of how, as a church, we should move forward. And Father, we just give you praise, honor, and glory. May the grace of God be with you all. May you be all light in this time of darkness. May you be a light to those around you in your family. May you speak words of life to those that you come in contact with. And may you move forward by the grace of God, obeying everything he speaks to your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Go be blessed.